Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of TDZ or not TDZ. That is, there is no question, actually. That is courtesy of Juju.
I just know that monologue because of Billy Madison.
To die.
Whether 'tis nobler.
To sleep.
That's it. That's it. Don't mess
school, baby. Oh, man.
No more.
That's the one piece of Shakespeare that I had to memorize in high school. And I did not commit it long term.
Was that like standard practice?
I think it used to be. Like, I think that was like real common in like 50s education and like British education. Like, you have to memorize.
We definitely had a module on it. I feel like in AP Lit, but not like, okay, Miles, please come up to
recite.
Give your monologue. Yes, the character of Iago really resonated with me from Othello, so allow me.
Right. Like, I'm wondering if the teacher, Iago. Now that I'm like thinking about it, I'm wondering if the teacher wanted us to like inhabit the character and like give a dramatic reading, but I think I was pretty rote.
Right.
Anyways, I'm Jack. That's Miles.
Yeah.
Hey. Ed Norton is trending, and whew, my heart skipped a beat, Miles, because the algorithm has learned something about how to write headlines so that until the very end of the headline, we think the person has died. It was announcing that he is going to star or be one of the stars of Knives Out 2, but the way it was written was Edward Norton, star of, like, started referencing his work. Which it was just like note for note exactly how you announce that somebody has passed away.
Yeah. What are they doing? I think they, like we were saying before, I think they know that on
they
some
probably
level that's
write,
enough to get someone engaged. Yeah.
You release like 5 headlines and see which one is getting the most engagement. And it's just, you just go with whichever one has the most engagement.
Right.
And then ask for forgiveness later when.
There it is. You heard it here first.
Hey. AMC is trending because this might be the new Game Stonk.
I don't know.
AM Stonk.
Energy. The energy of the of AMC 511 Twitter is high. It's high. It's just funny to see more than like whatever may or may not happen with the AMC stock. It's just interesting to see, like, it's like this one part of Twitter that seems very bipartisan, because you see like people tweeting who are clearly like on some Rose Twitter shit, like, yeah, fuck, we holding on for dear life, HODL gang, we out here. And then even like when you look at the trending topic, beneath that will be like someone with an avatar of Trump, like hugging the American flag, and they're like, we're getting the hedge funds, baby, AMC, let's go. And I'm like, well, see, look at that. That's the one thing that I think the powers that be don't want people to realize. Right. Like, no, they're, most of y'all, it's on the same page.
Just the Wall Street Bets subreddit has figured out something that neither political party has been able to figure out. That the thing that everybody doesn't like is the system that is fucking them over.
But yeah, I guess, and watching people like sit on their ass and just like move numbers around in their phone and be like, yep, all right, I'm done for the day.
Just cleared a cool mail. Yeah. Anyways, this will be interesting, because this one actually, like, I do think the box office is opening up a little bit. Like, a Jason Statham movie over the weekend, Wrath of Man, cleared like $9 million, I think, which is the official, like, how much a Jason Statham movie always makes. Like, that is just the rule for when you're releasing a Jason Statham movie. So it's pretty, it's respectable. It suggests that, like, if they started releasing a normal slate of movies, people would be going to the movies. So we'll see. I don't know why I said that with the inflection of Bill Cosby, but people would be going to the movies. Anyways,
or Forrest Gumpy or...
Yeah,
Slim
yeah, it was
Blade,
a little weird.
You know, whatever. Yeah. Fried potatoes.
New York mayoral interviews. What's going on here?
Brooklyn specifically, because you know, we all look, we're in a moment in this country, around the world, where many people, they've decided they do not want subsistence wages to toil, while others, you know, reap the benefits of exploiting their labor. And, you know, we need leadership. You need people who understand what things cost, what the lived experience is of everyday Americans. And in this specific example, New Yorkers, because these people are running for the mayor of New York. So the New York Times, they do interviews with the candidates like they do presidential candidates, so they can come to a determination if they're going to endorse someone. And a couple of the answers really stuck out at people, because, you know, affordable housing is a huge issue in this country. And the answers of these people who are running for mayor of New York City is they should almost be disqualified for being so out of touch. So the first person up is Sean Donovan. He served as the HUD secretary, okay, and budget
housing
director.
And urban development.
Yes, like, okay, housing is his expert, understanding how we develop that, how we can create more equitable outcomes.
And this was under Trump, presumably, based
under
on this
President
answer?
Obama.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And a budget director under Obama. Okay.
So he knows money. He
and
knows.
Let me add one more. Housing commissioner under Bloomberg.
Okay.
So he's,
I mean,
worked
this guy
for the mayor.
Gets it. He gets it. At the very least, he gets housing in New York.
Bro,
and that
exactly
is why he is running to be your mayor, New Yorkers.
Street Easy is just going straight into his brain. Zillow, yes. Redfin, he's snorting lines of that shit every day. He knows what shit costs. So Mara Gray at the New York Times editorial board asking him, thanks. Do you not happen to know what the median sales price for a home is in Brooklyn right now? His answer, in Brooklyn? Huh. I don't know for sure. I would guess around $100,000. Mara Gay.
A banana?
Mara Gay. It's $900,000. And he answers, median home, including apartments?
Oh.
Later on, the New York Times notes in a parenthetical, Mr. Donovan later emailed to say that his $100,000 answer referred to the assessed value of homes in Brooklyn. Quote, I really don't think you can buy a house in Brooklyn today for that little, he wrote. Okay.
Uh-huh.
But you clearly thought you could. Sure. So $100,000 is what you need to own in, like, Brooklyn.
Yeah, that is as off as the banana quote from Arrested Development.
Right.
Which, like, what could a banana cost? $11.
So the next up is Ray McGuire.
He gets it.
This is
it.
A black man who is the Citibank executive.
Oh, well, then he definitely gets it.
He said a lot about, you know, like, what the ills of the city and parts of the cities that need help.
It's the bank of the city. He's in the streets. He's in these streets talking to people about their problems and, you know, helping them with their money, presumably.
And also, I want to be your mayor. Yeah, I worked at a fucking predatory bank who used to handle slave money back in the day. I don't know, but look, here's right. the deal. I want to be your mayor. Mara Gay, coming through. What is the median sales price for a home in home or apartment in Brooklyn? His answer, in Brooklyn, that number has gone up now. It depends on where in Brooklyn, Margay. Just average for the borough, the median. Do you know it? It's got to be somewhere in the $80,000 to $90,000 range, if not higher. Margay,
hey,
the median sales price for a home in Brooklyn is $900,000. His answer, $900,000. Margay, what? Him. I'm sorry.
He's apologizing to his handlers, presumably.
I really fucked that one up. So yeah, this motherfucker apologized. And this is the problem, because we have people writing policy where they think for $80,000, you could own a brownstone in Brooklyn.
Yo, this could be a whole like website, a whole like channel on YouTube where you just interview rich people and ask them how much they think stuff costs.
Yeah.
That is wonderful.
It shows you just how much wealth completely takes your head out of the game in terms of like, because at that point, truly, right? I'd imagine if you have $1 million just passively sitting, like you're liquid,
right.
Like $1 million liquid.
Yeah.
Like, why would you ever know what anything costs? Like, presumably you have all these money managers, you know, whatever you desire is being handled to a certain extent, and you just flash your plastic square at things and you get it. So it's just really fucking, ugh. Again, I think this really underscores that we need more people to run for office and also work in government that actually understand
that
what
human.
Any of this means. I have friends who work in government, and the stories that I have to hear of them, like the horror, where they're like, you know, talking about, well, we need to like, what's our plan for getting people computers, like underserviced people in our community computers? And they have people who are there like social workers who are saying, well, maybe we should probably do some kind of like make sure they're searching for like jobs, like means testing and things like that. Like, you have people who are social, who are still talking about means testing for people in need. Like, there are so many obstacles. Even if you are someone of good faith and have a vision to help your community, there are still so many people who just take these jobs who really aren't interested in the outcome or just don't have the ability to empathize, that I'm hoping, if you've ever thought of getting involved, I'm telling you, people, like, this is the kind of shit that, you know, creeps into our city halls and our halls of government. People who just
did you see, speaking of means testing bullshit, did you see that the Biden administration wants to make it disqualifying to collect unemployment benefits?
Right.
If you turn down, if you turn down a job that is like the same or equivalent to what you had before, to the job you lost at the beginning of the pandemic. Never mind that, like, more than any year, like this past year has completely changed people's circumstances. You are required to take the same job you had before, because otherwise the Republicans will be mean to Joe Biden, I guess.
Yeah, because he wants to go, you know, very Clintonian of him.
It's
to
so
get
Clintonian.
The means testing welfare queen type fucking myth. Keep that shit alive.
Yeah.
When all we're seeing is like this very interesting labor movement also occur across the country where people are like, hey man, come work Chipotle. Fuck. You could make six figures at some point. We get it. We gotta pay y'all. Fuck.
Right. Yeah.
And then you still have a president who's gonna side with these business owners and be like, no, I get it. So we'll put the squeeze on our end to make sure they come to take their subsistence wages from you.
Just think about like how difficult that is to litigate. Like, you have to track down like how much somebody was making before. Okay, they said no to this job, they won't come back. So then you have to like have people chasing down people who said no to a job and making sure that they, it's like, that's so much wasted effort when you could just give the people the fucking money that they need to survive. Like, right. People aren't just sitting on their ass. Like, y'all always say, like, in the center and like center right, that like people want to work. Well, if you trust them to want to work, then give them, let them just make that decision on their own.
It's just this weird moment where government is providing more in terms of a social security or a social net, safety net for people than private business is in terms of wages.
Right.
So what is that telling you? And I think, again, any fucking human being who didn't have like one eye on worrying about if their phone's blowing up because the lobbyists are just being like, what are you talking about raising the fucking middle? You got your mind? That's what needs to happen. Like we have to create some kind of standard, because you even hear people still bring up that tired ass point, like minimum wages for like people who are like in high school and shit. Like that's what it used to mean.
Right.
But that's not where we're at. And people have to support families, and profits seem to be going up. The growth seems to be happening, but just not for the people that are making it possible. Like, again,
oh, fuck, man, it would be great to, it would be great to also do that test of like how much you think college costs today to, like people who are older, who are like, don't forgive student debt. Like ask the boomer generation, like assuming they don't have kids who's, they just had to pay through college. Like, cause you know, like they all worked their way through college on like having low paying jobs.
Right. But jobs nonetheless that were somehow able to eke out an existence like that.
Like, right. No, yeah. Like entry level job. Yeah. All right. Donald Glover is trending because apparently Donald Glover is condemning cancel culture.
Yep. He's canceled.
Thank you, sir.
Sorry. Goodbye at Donald Glover. This is the funniest shit, man. It shows how stupid reaction and reactionary Twitter is, because he's talking about, he was tweeting about the fact that he's like, man, these TV shows are boring. And, you know, that like we actually, that there's a fear for creators to not experiment. So the first he was like, said, so they all, so they feel like they can only experiment with aesthetic. Also, because some of them know they're not that good. We're getting boring stuff and not even experimental mistakes, because people are afraid of getting canceled. So this is the thing. He said when that line people took as, oh, people can't be edgelords anymore because they're afraid of being canceled. He's talking about in the context of TV shows that people are afraid to make mistakes for their show to be canceled. Like why we started, fuck it. I don't.
I mean, they're the people who are anti-cancel culture are so desperate to have somebody who is culturally relevant on their side that this is where they're at.
Yeah.
Well, he said, I mean, it kind of applies to what we're talking about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
you know, that fucking New York Post picks that up and immediately, Donald Glover, fear of cancel culture is creating boring TV.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh. No, that's not what he said. He didn't say cancel culture. Okay. He's talking about TV shows being not being renewed at the end of their run of this season. That's what we mean. But hey, you know, this is where.
But maybe they'll accidentally like encounter good culture as they're like casting about for some like cultural relevancy for like the anti. Maybe they'll like actually watch Atlanta.
Yeah.
And accidentally learn something.
Yeah. Like this singular tweet convinced like all these MAG people, like, man, Atlanta is. I didn't think entertainment could function like that and kind of make a statement at the same time.
Huh. Yeah. I like that one episode about the white guy who lives by himself in the mansion. That was kind of cool.
What happened to that character? I thought it was just going to be cool. About that guy.
Yeah, he seemed neat. Teddy, I don't know. Yeah. And finally, Students for Trump. No, not the thing Jeffrey Epstein used to be in charge of. I'm talking about the committee of, or like the group where that was like college students that were supposed to support Donald Trump. I saw them kicking around during the Trump administration. I was always like, wait, there are, Students for Trump.
Older people posing as students for Trump.
Right. That's what I assumed. But then you see these people and there's like some young looking people.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So anyways, the leader of that, John Lambert, just got sentenced to 13 years. He was, he's 25, and he was pretending to be Eric Pope of the Manhattan-based firm Pope and Dunn, for a number of years, starting in 2016. So, you know, he was inspired. He was like, we can do anything. He falsely claimed to be a graduate of NYU Law School with a finance degree from UPenn and 15 years of experience in corporate and patent law. So he was running the scam from 2016 to 2018, which targeted people who had little or no experience seeking legal advice. Victims sought Lambert's help through the freelancing website Upwork, where he earned at least $46,000 by giving legal advice that he was, quote, totally unqualified to give. The judge noted that one victim had expected Lambert, posing as the lawyer Eric Pope, to help with a credit problem. Mr. Lambert took his money and did nothing. He did not even have the common decency to make up an excuse and tell the victim to hire another attorney. That's just
stupid.
Lazy scamming.
That's what that privilege does to these scammers, man.
Yeah.
So weak with it. It's like no thought about, I don't know why I'm getting fucking mad at people's weak scams. God, what I would do with my whiteness to scam people. Nonsense.
He didn't know he couldn't do that.
Sorry. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, Judge. I didn't know I couldn't do that. Anyways, those are some of the things that are trending. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show. Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves. Get a vaccine. Don't do nothing about white supremacy. And we'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.